Well, 2 weeks ago, around this same time, minus time change, I was standing in line. Now, I've stood in line many times in my life. I have stood in line sometimes patiently, more often than that, not as patiently. Sometimes I've stood in line with excitement because I was in line for a roller coaster, like when we went to Disneyland a few years back, and it was just like, you know, totally excited to get on the roller coaster and go screaming along the tracks. Sometimes I've stood in line with fear, like when I had to go and get shots to go travel, and you're just waiting and waiting, and it's just this anticipation of, great, they're going to stick something sharp into me. This is really fantastic. Sometimes I've stood in line not really sure what to expect. Like a few years ago when we stood in line waiting for our court date in Ukraine to find out if we could bring Max home with us. But 2 weeks ago, I stood in line with a mixture, really, of fear and anticipation. A deep and desperate hope for something real that was going to come as I came to the front, something significant that would happen. And yet a fear that my hope was going to be unfulfilled. 2 weeks ago, I was standing in line. Oh man, I'm getting choked up already. Look at this. I was standing in line with Tara at the final service of General Assembly of the Christian Missionary Alliance, which was happening in Ottawa, waiting to be anointed with oil and prayed for. General Assembly is our week-long kind of business session and worship services that we do as an alliance family of churches across Canada. Every 2 years we get together and do this in different places across the country. And this year we were in Ottawa. And at this last service, they always set aside time for communion and then also time for anointing with oil and praying over people. So we were standing in line waiting to be anointed and prayed for. Now, General Assembly this year was really an incredible week. It began the day after Canada Day. It was hot and sticky out in Ottawa, Canada Day. I had this huge sweatband across me from where the camera bag had been. It was really nasty. But we started assembly the next day, and it really was a week of inspiration, a week of challenge, a week of reconciliation, a week of divine appointments, and a week that really was very refreshing. Our theme this year for General Assembly was breathe. Breathe, presence, and power. And the point of it really was seeking a fresh breath of God, both individually and as a family of churches, seeking the breath of the Holy Spirit to come on us again. At our opening banquet, our president, David Hearn, who has been here, and if you've ever heard David preach, you know that he has trouble preaching on a stool, because this is Dave when he preaches. Like, he's just constantly going, because he's so passionate, he's so filled with passion about what he's speaking about. And Dave called us in that opening session at the banquet, not only to do the business of General Assembly, because there is business we have to do there, but really to seek the Spirit of God as we came together. The next day we had what they called a solemn assembly. And this was done to try and heal some of the hurts that had happened at General Assembly in 2012. We had had a pretty heated debate in 2012, and it had caused pretty deep division among many people in our denomination. And so the solemn assembly was a time of confession, a time of sharing our feelings of hurt from what had happened at the previous assembly, a time for praying together, a time for reconciliation, a time when we had communion together, and a time when we focused again on the vision that God had called us to together. And it really was an incredible few hours together as God did an amazing work of healing a lot of hurts. As we moved into the rest of the assembly week, I can say that the presence of God was really evident. He was very, very present among us. Not just in the great worship services. I know sometimes we're singing and it's just a great space and we feel like God's presence is there. And certainly we felt it there too, but it wasn't just in those spaces. It was in how we were just seeing people interacting with one another. Seeing respect in debates and even actually quite a bit of humor as we were debating things. Seeing a spirit of reconciliation that had really taken roots among the people who were there. We also got to see the presence of God working as we heard about many stories of people right at assembly as they were in a seminar about healing. They didn't just talk about healing, but they actually practiced it and people were being healed. God actually healed people right there in the seminar. It was really cool to see God showing up in so many ways at assembly. Tara and I also saw God showing up in scheduling some divine appointments for us. You know, we had gone with not a lot of planned activities outside of assembly. We always plan to see a lot of different people there that we connect with every couple years from different churches all across the country. But we hadn't gone ahead and planned much with any of them. But God had some plans for us. And we ended up with some incredible times together. One coffee one night after a session when we were just planning to head back to the hotel, we ended up with a pastor friend and mentor who we had an incredible time with. A really God-appointed time together. And we also had a great time with some friends in Ottawa who we met up with. We hadn't even planned to get together with them, but we did end up getting together with them. And at the end of assembly, we encouraged each other so much just with our stories of what God had brought us through over the last several years. So as we came to this last service of General Assembly, as we were standing in line, it had already been just an incredible week, but the week wasn't done yet. See, we had come to that service, and they had started off, it was a communion service, so we had communion together. And after that was done, we were all invited to come for anointing and prayer. Like, usually when we do the anointing with oil and prayer, it's usually for, you know, if you have a specific need, a specific physical need typically, or a specific other need that you want prayer for, you'll go to the elders and they'll anoint with oil and pray. And usually for most of us, that means we've got to be almost on death's door, right? Because let's face it, if it's just a cold, I'm not troubling God with that. He's too busy with other stuff, right? I'm okay. I'll be good. But if I'm really not doing well, then I might think about coming for prayer. But we were all invited to come. Every last one of us. Because the speaker said, listen, we all have need. We all have need for the presence of Jesus Christ in our life. We all have weakness. We all have places that we struggle, and we need the fullness of Christ to bring healing in those spaces. And so what it was about is coming to receive that in those spaces in our life, and we all were invited to come for prayer. The catch was, when you go up for prayer, you only tell the people praying for you your name. That's it. You don't tell them your need. You don't tell them what you're struggling with. If you have a really specific need, you can go to there was a prayer team at the back. You could go and ask them to pray for you. But for everyone else, you just go up and you say your name. And then they listen for the Holy Spirit and they pray for you what they hear him saying. Now, during assembly, I was really longing for a fresh encounter with Jesus and a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. So when this opportunity was given, we jumped up right away. Tara and I jumped up right away. We headed off to go get prayed for, but we were already a couple people back in line. And so we waited. We waited in this line, anticipating and hoping for a fresh touch from God, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, hoping God would speak personally to each of us. And yet in me there was this, deep down there was this fear that we were going to get up there and he wasn't going to say anything. And so we waited in line to see what God would do. I wonder when you've come, or when you've been in a place where you've longed for a fresh touch from God. You've longed to hear his voice or just know that he's real. To know that he is aware of what's going on in your life and he actually cares about it. He cares about you. When you've cried out to him longing for some kind of answer to something that's going on in life. Whether it's needing divine healing or needing wisdom for a big decision you're facing or just really needing some hope. There are a lot of times and a lot of reasons that we might call out to God. There's a lot of different spaces when we might try and reach out to him and seek him. Sometimes they're in moments of complete desperation when we don't know where else to turn. But not just then. A lot of times we call out to God and other times in life because we actually do need him for all of life, not just those moments of desperation. We need him to meet us where we're at and transform us into who he wants us to be. Today in the story, we're going to be reading a little bit more about the early church. The church that was formed right after Jesus left, and there was the apostles, it was his followers, those disciples who were kind of this ragtag group of guys thrown together from all sorts of different careers, fishermen and tax collectors and all these guys, and this early church that formed around the message of Jesus. And we're going to be meeting someone today who longed for something from God, who was longing for a touch from God, but in his longing, how he completely missed the point of who God is and what he was about. So let's just take a moment and pray before we get into the word this morning. And then we're going to be reading in Acts chapter 8. So if you want to turn there now, you can do that. If you have your Bible with you, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 9. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. And Lord, I just pray that as we open up your word today, you would be present in this place to speak your word to each one of us in a way we understand, in a way we can hear, in a way we can process, and Lord, with something we can respond to you. Lord, would you just give us open eyes to see you today, to see you through the things we read, to see you through the conversations we have, through this time studying your word, through our worship. Lord, give us ears that will be attentive to hear your whispering spirit to us. As you speak words to us, Lord, may we hear you clearly today. And Lord, may we truly have hearts willing and open and ready to respond to you, to call out to you, but also to receive you in our places of need. Just pray, Lord, that you would speak your words today, and may we hear your words and not mine. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's read from Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 9, about this man we're going to meet today. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that an incredible story? What an incredible story of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of God among his people. It's a great story of what we would call broader reach, right? The apostles, Philip, going out into the nations, into Samaria, and preaching the name of Jesus, and people responding and coming and giving their lives to Christ, being baptized. Then the other apostles, Peter and John, coming, laying on their hands, and they're receiving the Holy Spirit of God. What an amazing story of the power of God. Even Simon, a sorcerer, a guy who had practiced magic and done all sorts of great things and had all this fame and publicity, this guy gave his life to Jesus. He believed in the name of Jesus and he was baptized. Man, that's incredible. The power of God to overcome so much. What an incredible moment this is for the early church, seeing this happen in Samaria. Seeing people living in captivity find freedom in Jesus and then receive the Holy Spirit of God upon them. It's an incredible moment. It's not the end of the story. We've got to keep reading to see what happens next. Verse 18. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me this also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. And Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. So, Simon, who believed the message about Jesus. Simon, who got baptized to publicly declare his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Simon, who followed Philip around, seeing the miracles that God was doing, the power of God at work in people all around Samaria. Simon, who still has a bit of a longing for power. Simon tries to buy Holy Spirit power. How much is that? Is that 20, 50? What do I owe you? What's going on here? Simon, he sees this incredible scene. He sees this incredible thing where the apostles come, they lay on their hands, they pray for someone, and the power of the Holy Spirit falls on someone. The presence of God comes upon people. And he sees it and he goes, I want that. I want the power. He sees the power of God fall on someone, but he doesn't want God. He wants the power. He's treating the Holy Spirit like a power, like the force. Thinking power can be bought or sold. Thinking power can be manipulated to his own ends, his own means. Longing for the power of God rather than a relationship with God himself. Rather than the presence of God, he wants the benefit of the power of God. Simon essentially misses it. He misses what this is all about. He's looking for a power that can be manipulated, a power that can be used, rather than looking for the presence of God that brings life. A.B. Simpson, who's the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, wrote a great sermon, preached a great sermon too, but called himself. And he addresses this issue in it. And this is what he says. I wish to speak to you about Jesus and Jesus only. I often hear people say, I wish I could get hold of divine healing, but I cannot. Sometimes they say, I have got it. If I ask them, what have you got? The answer is sometimes, I've got the blessing. Sometimes it is, I have got the theory. Sometimes it is, I have got the healing. Sometimes I have got the sanctification. But I thank God, we have been taught that it is not the blessing. It is not the healing. It is not the sanctification. It is not the thing. It is not the it that you want, but it is something better. It is the Christ. It is himself. It's not about getting healing. It's not about getting power. It's not about getting sanctification. It's not about getting our lives all fixed up and looking good. It's not about having divine provision for every day. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about having Christ himself. It's about having the presence of God dwelling in us. It's not about all the stuff he gives or brings. It is about him. It's about him. So Simon longed for power. He longed for the benefits of God. He longed for the power to do the things of God, to lay his hands on people and also give them the Holy Spirit. He wanted something he could control. After all, he was used to being this great and powerful man, the great power of God. And so he longed for that power. But Peter confronts him about it. He confronts him about his attitude with this, about what he's actually longing for. He confronts him because being filled with the Spirit is not about getting power to fuel our selfish desires. It's not about getting all the stuff we want in life. Rather, it's about being transformed to live life as a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, you look at this story and you think, man, Simon, he was really, he had a couple screws loose upstairs, right? He's out there. Can you believe that, trying to buy the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, come on, seriously? And you stop and think, and I wonder how much different I am than Simon. Is there a little bit more of Simon in me than I would care to admit? When we come with our need to God, when we call out to Him, whether in our desperation or just in other moments where we need Him in life, or even if we don't call out to Him, but we know we should be calling out to Him, are we coming just to get what we want? Or are we coming because we long for more of Him? Do we just want the healing? Do we just want the financial help? Do we just want the wisdom to make a good decision? Do we just want to convince someone to agree with us? Or do we want to surrender more of our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and be filled with Him in every space of life? If we're longing for God to transform our lives, if we're longing for Him to empower us in mission that we're called to in the world, it cannot be about obtaining a power, about obtaining a force that we can control. But rather, it must be about being filled with a person, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God Himself. The good news about that, though, is, because there's good news about this, is that God actually longs to pour out His Spirit on us. This is not sort of a thing where we're trying to extract this somehow from God. Like, we got to figure out the exact right way to get this because it's a really tricky path to walk and all the right religious rites that have to be lined up so that somehow God will actually let us have a little taste of the Spirit. It's not about that. God longs to pour out His Spirit into His people. He talked about it through His prophets, saying that in those days I will pour out my Spirit on all people, right? They're going to dream dreams. They're going to have words of prophecy. All these things are going to happen because God wants to pour out His Spirit. Jesus, when He came, said, listen, you guys, you dads, you guys are evil, and yet even still, you know how to give good gifts to your kids, right? You guys have all sorts of sin in your life, but you can still bless your kids. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? God longs to pour out His Holy Spirit into us. He longs to fill us with the Holy Spirit, so we can actually live and experience the life He has for us. It's not a gift He's kind of holding back and just kind of sprinkling out wherever He feels. He longs to pour this out into our lives. But we need to ask. We need to ask. And I think too often it's easy for us to figure that we can get by in life without Him. We can be self-sufficient. It's just a little cold. I don't really need the Spirit's healing power in me. It's not a big deal. I can make it through this time without God. Man, I'm doing great. I everything's going well. I'm successful. I got great family, great job, great life. I got all these things going on. It's wonderful. Who needs God? We can become very independent of Him. But as individuals, as a church, as a movement of churches across Canada, we need desperately, understand how much we need the power and presence of Almighty God in us. In his report to General Assembly, our President David Hearn wrote these words. He said, one of our greatest dangers as a movement is to settle for success without presence, to gain all that is promised, but miss the presence of God is a most miserable and terrifying potential. I am more optimistic than I have ever been about the future of our Alliance family, But I am convinced that our greatest need is the active, uncompromising, dynamic presence of Almighty God among us. Without that, we have nothing. In fact, Jesus even said so much. Talked about illustration of the vine and the branches. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can just do a little bit. Right? Actually, that's not what he said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from the presence of God, we can do nothing to fulfill his mission for us in the world. We can do nothing to help announce and bring the kingdom of God on earth. We might be successful by some kind of measures we create, but ultimately we will have done nothing if we do not have the presence of God with us. Moses, when he was leading the people of Israel, came to a crossroads with God because God was pretty fed up with the people because they were being idiots, right? You can read the story. They were actually idiots a lot of times. But one particular time, he was like, you know what, Moses, here's the deal. You and the people can go onto the land. I'll bless you. You can go have it, but I'm not coming with you. And Moses said, no. If you're not coming, we're not going. Because if we do not have the presence of Almighty God with us, how will the nations of the earth see us as any different? What's the difference? There's nothing. We need you to go with us. We're not going if you're not coming. He recognized their need for the power and the presence of God with them. They needed his presence. And so do we. We need it not just as a church so we can do church work or whatever that's supposed to be. We need it for every part of life, to live the fullness of life that God has for us. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. God calls us, he calls to us, inviting us to ask him for the Holy Spirit. Asking God to breathe afresh on us. But will you ask him? While we were at assembly, there was a scripture that kept coming up again and again, and it came from a story of a man named Ezekiel. Ezekiel, one day, found himself out in the middle of this incredibly long valley. It was hot. No shade. And as the sun was beating on him, he could feel the beads of sweat just forming on his brow. He looked around the valley, all around him, trying to see what was on the ground. And he caught his breath. Because lying all around him, as far as the eye could see, almost like carpet, were bones. Bones in every direction. And not the bones of carcasses from a hunt that had come through that valley, but human bones. They'd been there for a long time. They were pretty dusty and dry. They had been laying in that valley for a long time, and as he slowly moved his way up and down the valley, looking back and forth, seeing that there were bones in every direction, the Spirit of God came to him, and he said, Son of man, can these bones live again? Obvious answer, Look at this. It's a graveyard. There's just dry bones everywhere. How's that even possible? I mean, sure, he'd heard the stories of Elijah and Elisha and people coming back to life, but I mean, those are people who had just died recently. I mean, these people, there was no flesh, there was no nothing left. It was just bones. How on earth could this happen? And so we just said, Lord, you alone know if these bones can live again. Then God spoke to him again. And he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So he prophesied. He spoke these words to the bones, the stillness of the valley being broken only by the sound of his voice, as he said these words that the Lord had told him to. But all of a sudden, things started to happen. There was this incredible rattling and clacking sound as the bones started to move. And they started to pull themselves together, these hundreds and thousands of bones. And they started to assemble into what looked kind of like the skeletons of people. And as he continued to watch, tendons and ligaments began to attach and form and get onto the bones. And then that was followed by flesh covering over those. And finally, skin that surrounded the flesh. This was not a scene for the weak stomach. As the noise grew quiet again, he looked all around the valley. And all over the ground were lying people who still looked as though they were dead. They were no longer just bones, but there was no life in them. And so God spoke again. And he said, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So Ezekiel spoke up again. Again, hearing the echo of his voice off the sides of the valley. And as he spoke, the breath of God came and breathed into all those who were lying on the ground in the valley. And all around Ezekiel, they came to life and they stood up, appearing to be a vast army. The breath of God had given these people life again. And I wonder for us too, as we come here today, if we're feeling a little lifeless. Like we've been running on fumes. Like we've been running on our own strength, our own power. And needing again the breath of God to breathe life into us. That we could live. 2 weeks ago today, I was standing in line. Praying, hoping, longing. For the breath of God to breathe new life into me. You know, it was one of those moments where you're praying and you just, that mixture between fear and anticipation, right? And praying that God would specifically say something to me. I wanted to know this wasn't just sort of a general prayer. You know, I don't know if you guys ever feel that, but you know, you don't want that general prayer. I mean, they're really nice people, and they're really sweet, and they want to be nice and compassionate, and so they might pray some really nice things over you, but I didn't want that. I didn't want the nice prayer. I wanted to hear from God. And so I was just praying that God would have something specific to say to me. Something specific that, you know, these people wouldn't know about, that they wouldn't be thinking about. So as we came up for prayer, Tara and I came up together, and the couple who was going to pray for us said, "We'd like to pray for you guys individually." So they prayed for Tara first, and then they started to pray for me. And one of my longings that week, like I had said earlier, really was that God would fill me afresh with the Spirit. That he would breathe new life into me and I would experience that in a significant way. And the first thing that they prayed for me was that that would happen. God just confirmed his voice to me by praying or leading them to pray for what my heart had been desiring. Now you may say, "Well, Dave, that sounds like what the theme was, so they probably would have prayed that anyways." That's maybe true. But there was another thing it wasn't even a prayer that they prayed for me. It was something they said to me from the Lord that hit me right here, which I'm not going to share with you guys. But it was something I desperately needed to hear from him. I came with an open heart and open hands, just longing for God, longing for his presence and a fresh filling of his Spirit in my life. And he's called me to continue to come day after day. In that sermon himself, A.B. Simpson talks about that. That he longed to have actually just an abundant supply of God's Spirit in his life, and God said no. And he said no because then you won't come to me every day asking again. And you won't live in dependence on me to continue to pour out my life into you. God wants us to continue to come to him, to continue to come and live trusting in him, dependent on him for his life, for himself. But when we do that, he is faithful to answer. Oh, he is so faithful. He is so good, and he will answer. And so I wonder for you today, in your longing for God, in your longing for something in life, will you ask him? Will you call out to him and just ask that he would fill you afresh with his Spirit? That you would experience not just the blessing, not just the healing, not just the experience of something, but you would experience him deeply, fully, reach into every part of life. We're going to take some time to respond in a few minutes here. But before we do that, I just want to pray for you. And whether during this time when I'm praying for you or during our response time or even afterwards, if you want to come talk to me, I want to give you space in this time this morning just to call out to God for that. To call out to him and ask that he would fill you afresh with his presence, with his Holy Spirit. That you would know his presence in you today. Let's pray together. God, thank you for seeing us in every space that we're in. No matter where we go, we can't hide from you. You know our heart and our mind and our life better than we know it ourselves. You know our longing, our hurt. You know our brokenness, our need. Lord, we pray that in those spaces of longing, you would come and fill us afresh with your Spirit. Lord, for each one who longs for that today, I pray that you would not disappoint, but as they call out to you, God, would you just fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit for all of life. Lord, just fill them up in their need. Fill them up, Lord, in the power they need to accomplish what you've laid before them for life and for the mission you've called us to. Lord, we just pray that you would empower our church, breathe your Spirit afresh on our church. Lord, that by your power and in your leading, we'd impact this community in incredible ways for Jesus Christ. But Lord, if you won't go with us, don't send us, because we need you. And so, Lord, we just pray that as we sing songs of praise to you today, as we call out to you, as we spend this time with you, and go out from here in your leading, Lord, may we be filled with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.